Blog Talk Radio.
Every time. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo-hoo, good morning. How are you, Cannabis Kids?
I'm doing great, though, Sean. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Another Wednesday morning.
It is. There's lots happening this morning.
It's going to get up to 104 today.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. Get out of town.
Get out.
Holy
get
Mount
out
Lemon.
Town.
Get us up there. Count on. Take us away. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Spellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid.
We'll have strain reviews, product reviews, interviews.
News and information about everything and anything medical cannabis related in Tucson and the world at large.
Woo! We love that large world. So, if you want to call and chat and blog and talk and spew, give us your opinions. We want to hear them. 646-915-8421. You can email thctucson@gmail.com. And if you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, there's a radio link. You can click it. It'll take you right to the show. And if you spend a couple seconds, you can actually log in and then blog with us. So,
and if you're on Facebook, you can go ahead and message us questions, things like that. Look at different things that Tumbleweeds has to offer, trainings,
classes,
educations, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. In fact, at the end of the month, we have a wonderful guest coming. Holy smokes. Holy smokes, we'll be at Tumbleweeds Health Center showing off their beautiful organic vaping tonics.
They'll be trying out some samples, looking at the product. There's some new things that are actually coming out in the next couple months, so that will be there. So come in and check it out, June 29th from noon to 4.
Yes, and you can use cannabis oils in your smokers.
Tinctures.
Tinctures.
Which alcohol-based tinctures and glycerin-based tinctures with a little bit of warm water to kind of thin it out.
Okay.
But all that stuff is on our website at holysmokes.com.
So come see them at Tumbleweeds Health Center. It's their new pad, their new joint, 5315 East Broadway, Suite 105. And it's the suite numbers don't do what they're supposed to do. They're all over the place. So just look for the giant set of three palm trees. There's a huge billboard that says 5315 East Broadway, and we're right in the front there next to the giant purple pot. So come and see us and say hello. Get certified, $99 certifications, and starting June, $50 Fridays for your memberships. Come down to Lecture Free Friday at Tumbleweeds Health Center for Meditation Hours.
Bill, what is the total if someone wanted to come in and get their card?
Well, there's some variables. If somebody has, if they are receiving food stamps, that's SNAP, the SNAP program here in Tucson. The state fee is reduced by $75, which makes it a $75 fee for the state. Our doctor fee is $99, and you can process it yourself at home for free or for $35. Tumbleweeds will take your picture, upload, download, sideways load, scan, and send over everything electronically to the state for you. So we'll even do it standing on our heads.
That's one of the biggest questions I get when I'm out.
So it's $284 total. If you're on food stamps, it's $209. And if you're on food stamps and you want to do it yourself, it's like $75. Because you don't have to pay for processing and all that stuff. So it's just $75 state fee. And then a $99 doctor fee, of course.
Right.
If you don't have your doctor certification, which we're finding more and more doctors all over Tucson are sending patients to Tumbleweeds with their Arizona state forms already filled out.
That is awesome.
It's awesome.
That
it's
is
so great.
Great.
And that's
I like that the doctors are coming around more and more, and they're seeing it as a an alternative medicine to some of the diseases out there, viruses, things like that, people that are sick and chronic pain.
Yep.
The doctors are seeing that it is working, and they don't need to fear.
That's true.
So.
Yep. Exactly, as they shouldn't have any fear of medicine. And
if you're a doctor, you're out there trying to get your patient healthy again.
Yes, and get their bodies healthy.
Right.
Using less and less of those harsh medicines. So we would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center.
Thank you, Tumbleweeds.
Thank you, Tumbleweeds. Woo! We would like to thank AZ MedTest for testing the medicines at this incredible state, so absolutely needs tested, essential. Blog Talk Radio, of course. I'm looking at our little soundboard here. And for a year, Nathan has seen the show.
And they've done a great job.
Awesome job. Growers have 220 Valencia. Want to learn to grow your medicine for 25 at a dispensary? Go for it. The guys at the Growers, Paul and Nate.
Paul and Nate.
Nate and Paul. Paul and Nate. Growershouse.com, 227 Valencia, right here in Tucson. Check them out. They have the lowest prices in town and on the web, and they guarantee that they've got classes, and you can go pick all their brains. They're just fantastic. And a Mary Jane Survival Guide. A couple months ago, we did a couple months stretch of volumes 1 through 6. You can pick them up at Tumbleweeds Health Center. Great patient guides. Yeah, those are good. That's fun. Great patient guides. And all sorts of referrals, legal referrals, recipes. You can find Tumbleweeds in there, doctors in the Phoenix and Tucson area. And it's just a fantastic guide. They're working on number 7, so come pick it up at Tumbleweeds Health Center. All right. We have a really special guest this morning. And Mr. Joe, I'm going to call him for the moment, Mr. Joe. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Grumbine. I'm not really sure. I apologize for botching that. He'll be able to tell us in just a few moments. But really, really excited to talk to him. He's very involved in the politics of what's going on in this crazy cannabis community here. He had his own dispensary and was raided and jailed, and we'll let him tell you his fantastic story. And what else is going on in Tucson here and the world at large?
I have a couple things that I found.
For the news section?
The news section, yeah.
And this weekend is AZ for Normals.
Meeting.
Yep.
At Ward 6.
Ward 6 building.
And that meeting starts, I think it's on the first Saturday. I think it starts at 3
o'clock?
3 o'clock.
It's at 3 o'clock to 4:20. And I'm pretty sure I have the address somewhere here for Ward 6. But you can always go to AZ4Normal, and that's AZ with a 4, a number 4. So it's AZ, and there's no A in normal. So it's AZ, the number 4, NORML. And you can find them at the Ward 6 meeting, or you can check them out online as we're trying to find things here for it. So, yeah, we're trying to find the address for that. We'll find it, and we'll get back to you about that. So,
is it on the?
Oh, it's somewhere in here. We've got it somewhere. Yes, 3202 East 1st Street. And you go around the back and check in there, azfornormal.org. It's the Ward 6 building, 3202 East 1st Street. And we will update you with that again later. So let's chat with Joe. Let's see if this is who we have on the line this morning. Somebody's patiently waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Did I mess your
How's
name?
How's it going?
Good.
You got it right one of the times. It's Joe Grumbine.
Aha. All right. Well, Mr. Joe Grumbine, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm out of jail, and I'm healthy, and I'm living free
Yay.
Today, so yeah, it's a good day.
Wow. I've been reading all over the Human Solution and just, you know, different things that you sent me about your case, your experience. You had a dispensary, is that right?
I did. In 2008, we had set up in Orange County, California, and in 2009, end of 2009, we were raided. And, you know, this is a strange case because most of the time when there's raids, there's all sorts of warnings given and violations, code violations and things. And with us, nobody said anything. They just came in and took us out. And, you know, we stood up to it. Most of these cases get settled, which means that the defendants, you know, take a plea deal, which means that you plead guilty to a crime that you may or may not have committed. And in our case, we fully believe that we're, you know, not guilty of any crime. So we said, no, I don't want your deal. And, you know, this started in 2008, and I've been, since that time, arrested and jailed 5 times for cannabis, all the same basic situation. And I'm currently out on $250,000 bond. And if you put that into perspective, there's people that have killed other people that have been held on less bond than that, and people that have hurt people in really bad ways. And my charges alone, if I was found guilty of everything I did, my charges are selling a plant. And that's it. That's all. There's nothing, you know, no sinister, deep, dark, there was something else going on. They just, their charge me was selling a plant. And,
why do you not so it's, amount then, the bail amount? Why did they set that so high?
It's a really dirty trick that they have in their arsenal, and people don't, you know, unless you've been in the justice system or unless you've been doing court support or you've been studying it in some way, most people have no idea how our justice system works. And, you know, state by state it varies, but I've been following some Arizona cases as well, and they're not much different. And for the purposes of bail, you're assumed guilty of the charges. And so initially they had piled on a whole bunch of charges, and later they dropped most of them. But for the purpose of bail, they said these things and they stacked them all up. They gave multiple charges of the same thing. And they're not supposed to stack them, but they do. And that's how they were able to come to the bail. And then I had gotten pulled over with a legal amount of medicine, and I was carrying legal papers, and they turned that over. I didn't get arrested. I didn't get charged. I didn't get a ticket even, but they seized my medicine and they turned it over to the DA that was prosecuting my case, and they presented that to the judge and said, look, he's doing it again. And the judge took me into custody and doubled my bail. And so literally I've had two bails that I've had to be able to bond out. It's only because of some angels that I'm even currently free. I didn't have any way to make, you know, to pay this kind of a bond. And a lady named Kathy Z, who's just a dear friend, took her retirement out and actually freed me after being in, you know, county for about a month and a half over the holidays. And, it's just amazing to think that, you know, here in America that we're locking up our own citizens, and even the charges aren't anything that you would think somebody would have to go to jail for. It's nuts. And I was in their house with the same people that were gang members and people that had, you know, that had committed violent crimes sitting right next to me. And we were treated the same and considered to be the same kind of a you know, individual.
Yeah.
Was that a federal raid or the state come at you?
No, that's the funniest thing. These are all state charges. And, you know, the feds have left me alone thus far anyways. And I'm pretty sure the reason why is because I didn't have any money. And my property that I own is upside down and I didn't have any assets to seize. It seems that typically when the feds get involved, there's large amounts of money or there's properties or there's something that they can take. And in my case, you know, I didn't have anything. So there was, you know, no impetus for them to come in and spend all their energy prosecuting me. It always seems that there's this double-edged or you know, double agenda. And, you know, when the feds get involved, almost always, you know, there's at least $50,000 or $100,000 in cash that are involved, if not more. And, you know, then all of a sudden they quickly take an interest in these cases. And that's not always the case. Maryland and Crash Campbell just surrendered to custody in Tennessee. And all they had was a backyard garden, and, you know, the feds came in on them. And there's numerous cases of people that, you know, were cultivators that the feds have taken an interest in and taken out. Sometimes I think it's just terror tactics, you know. It's like mafioso. If I take out your friend, you're going to maybe pay attention and do what I tell you. And it seems that that's, you know, the reason why they're doing this. I've sat in many federal cases and dozens of state cases, and, you know, the things they do are just, they just play dirty pool every chance they get. And, you know, we have to defend ourselves on our own where they get paid to do it. You know, they're just doing their job. So it's, you know, the odds are really stacked, and when somebody decides to stand up for their rights, I just have to consider them to be a hero, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's just shocking. I mean, I was reading one of your articles how you got, I guess they pulled you back in for a traffic ticket. It wasn't even anything related to cannabis, and then they arrested you right there for that. I mean, that's
just... Yeah, there's, you know, there's just been... One of the other things they do is, like, I've been a little bit of an outspoken activist, and you know, I write articles all the time, and I try to, you know, educate people as to what's really going on. And also I try to teach people about their rights. I talk about jury nullification and things like that. And I teach people about, you know, well, maybe you don't have to take a plea deal. Maybe there's some other solution for you. And for some reason or another, that seems to bother them. And so they've taken every opportunity they can to snatch me up and lock me away every time they get. And, you know, I literally just stay home now and work in my nursery. I have a landscaping nursery out in Lake Elsinore and a botanical garden. And I teach classes and things like that. And I pretty much mind my own business now. I mean, I still do court support, and I still write, and I still am, you know, politically active, but I don't operate, I'm not in the quote-unquote industry anymore. You know, I haven't cultivated, I was a cultivator for 30 years, and I haven't cultivated in the last 2 years just because I can't, take the chance of getting taken out anymore. You know, if they lock me up again, they probably will hold me without a bail. And, you know, my case is still in the appellate court, waiting to find out if I get a new trial. And, you know, that whole case, I don't know if you read about my case at all or not, but it was a total kangaroo court, an 18-day trial that ended up in me getting convicted. But then right before I was to be sentenced, the judge recused himself. And because, you know, he had just done all kinds of inappropriate things. And luckily, we had a lot of court supporters. We had a gallery full of people watching the trial the whole time, and they were able to put declarations together as to the improper acts that had happened. And we were ultimately granted a motion for a new trial, literally overturning a jury verdict. And that never happens, I mean, ever. And so now that I, you know, was given a new trial, the prosecutor decided to appeal that. And so our tax dollars, California taxpayers' money, is being spent for their prosecutor, my public defender, and then their appellate attorney, or, you know, their appellate attorney, and my public defender appellate attorney. So it's all coming out of the tax dollars. And all of this in the hopes of putting away a dangerous person like me for selling a plant. it's kind of ironic. And meanwhile, we still have gang problems, we still have violence, we still have all sorts of, you know, real crimes occurring, and they're remaining unsolved. And I can't help but wonder if we were to spend some of our resources on going after those violent criminals, and maybe not so much at people just trying to help out sick people, maybe our society might be in a little better shape. I don't know, just a hunch.
Yeah. Well, just the notion that it just floors me still. One of our very good friends is in the process of being raided right now. And, you know, like you said, you get all sorts of warnings and this and that. When they come after a caregiver or a patient here in Arizona, they just come and knock doors down, no warning, no nothing.
Right.
We don't even know right now if there's a warrant or what, but it's just, I'm shocked. I'm still in shock. I listened to your story. I'm already just beyond upset this morning, and I just, I can't understand, like you said, we're all these tax dollars. It's our tax dollars going to make these arrests on people that are not criminals.
Yeah.
They're not, this is not a crime. This is a plant and it's a medicine.
Well, it's really devastating if you've ever been, involved in a raid or been arrested the way that they do. They really are violent, and they come in with their machine guns and their, their black suits on, and oftentimes they have face masks on, so you can't even see their faces, and they break everything, and they don't have to. We never put up a fight. When they raided my place, my hands went in the air. I was staring down the barrel of a machine gun. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Are you kidding me? Last thing I'm gonna do is hurt you." And when they came into my house, I was at the collective when it happened. But they raided my house at the same time, and they did the same thing to my wife and daughter, and they stuck guns in their head and locked them up, tied them up. They didn't arrest them,
but they
held them for hours and hours and hours, and they didn't have anything to do with anything. And they broke my house up, and they tore down doors. And to add insult to injury, when they left, and I was in jail at the time, they took me away. They had my wife locked up, my daughter locked up, and when they finally released them, she went, to look over the damage, and they had left a steaming turd in every one of my toilets. And I have a guest house and two bathrooms in my house, and they were all full of cop crap. And it just lets you know that this is a personal thing for them. When they talk to you, when they're locking you up, they're saying, "Oh, I'm just doing my job. It's not personal. I really think we should work this out," or whatever. But at the end of the day, when they're treating you this way, it's very personal, and they really think we're bad people. Maybe not all of them, but certainly enough of them. And we've got
that makes me sick.
A real problem, it's a systemic problem. There's a, it's an education problem. We've got to find some way to educate these people that are enforcing these bad laws or even subverting these laws. We've passed laws that say patients are allowed to provide for each other, and yet they come in and say, "Oh, no, that's not what you're doing. You're just out here trying to make money."
Right. Well, how do you think? I know we're just flabbergasted over here.
Wow.
How do you think that image is going to be changed with police officers? I mean, I don't know that anyone is regulating education.
Well, it's really, really simple. There's Abraham Lincoln nailed it back in the 1860s, and he said something that's just stirred me, and I repeat it every chance I get. And it's really simple. And he said, "With public sentiment, anything is possible. And without public sentiment, nothing is possible." And the problem is, it's on us. Cannabis activists are still hiding in the closet. We partake. We enjoy the freedom to use this herb to heal us, mind, body, and soul. But we don't stand up for it as a rule. We don't. You look at Turkey, you look at China, you look at places where people are uprising right now, Egypt, Syria, and there's thousands, tens of thousands of people in the streets because they're upset about something that's wrong. Us, what do? We get 50 people, if we're lucky, at a courthouse. We don't stand up, and that's part of what my role in this is, to wake people up and let them know that when enough of us do stand up, this will end, When I talk to people constantly, there's a bill right now called H.R. 1523, and this is a federal bill that will affect every person. And what this bill does is it literally changes the Controlled Substances Act, and it allows for states' rights. And it just simply says, except citizens that are following state law regarding the cultivation, distribution, transportation of marijuana. And if that bill was to become law, the feds would back off in every state where the citizens have elected to have a medical or even a legalization law. And I think that would open the door for the rest of the states to follow suit. Because honestly, most of the legislators that say we're not for this, they back up on federal law. They say, well, we're not going to support anything that's federally illegal. If this bill was to pass, and it's an easy bill to get support for because it's not about legalization, it's about states' rights. So even the conservatives stand for states' rights. And if you could approach your congressman and say, please, I need you to support, I need you to co-sponsor H.R. 1523 because it stands for the will of the people, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. And you'd be surprised at the letters we're getting in response from congresspeople. They're saying, yeah, you know what? I don't support legalization, but I do support states' rights.
Right.
If this thing was to pass, the feds would have to back off. And yet, I struggle to find people that are willing to contact their congressman, make a phone call, write a letter, make an appointment, and ask them. And when we do, we're noticed. They go, oh, you're the pot guy. Well, we shouldn't be the pot guy. There should be thousands of us pot guys. But unfortunately, we're not. And we'll sit back and we'll take a big rip and take a dab or we'll take whatever it is we're taking and say, wow, it sucks. This guy's getting raided. But we won't take that action and pick up the phone and call up our elected representative. On my website, I've got links to everybody's congresspeople, congress.gov. It's all there. It's so easy to do if you decide you want to. And it's just something we need to step up and take the reins, and we'll end this.
We had an interesting comment from a patient that says they're afraid of being arrested, even just going to support somebody. Can you be arrested for that? Their fear, you know, they're afraid of all this public... Oh.
You know what? And that's the terrorism they instill in us. And, I encounter that all the time. And that's why I show pictures of us all the time. If you look at my Facebook or the website, we have galleries of pictures of our court support. Never once has somebody been arrested for showing up in support of another. I've never seen it, unless you're doing something stupid. I mean, unless you're committing your own crime while you're doing it. But we have rules for court support. In fact, we even have a Human Solution chapter there in Tucson. And yes, we do. And they've actually, they're a fairly small group, but they're growing. And they've been doing court support for several of the local defendants. And they've actually been going, they were at the city council meeting last night. And they're supporting your local legislation. Trying to get the 25-mile rule taken out. I mean, I'm somewhat familiar with what's going on in Arizona because of our chapter that's happening there. And these guys are really active. They go to the courthouse with educational information about jury nullification. You know, people don't realize that, you know, one of the other things we do, and I'll get back to the question. The answer to the question is really simple. You're not doing anything wrong. You don't have to worry about getting arrested for supporting somebody. It's not that big of a conspiracy. In fact, when we walk in, you know, 10 strong or 15 strong, they don't know what to do with us. And it makes a huge impact in the courtroom because the judges are being watched, the defendants are being supported, and the prosecutors are being watched. And it's amazing. They almost implode when we walk in there. They're like, what are you guys doing here? Why are there all these ribbons? We have these solidarity ribbons, little green ribbon with a red cross on it. And we just wear them and we dress up, you know, appropriately. We wear, you know, as nice of clothes as we have. We don't act up. We turn our cell phones off. We're well behaved. And there's nothing to be a problem. And so they're looking at us going, what the heck are you guys doing watching us? They don't want to be watched. They're like cockroaches and rats. And so, you know, there's strength in numbers. And when we stand together, you know, not only are we supporting the defendant that we're there to help out, but we're actually supporting each other. And I have had dozens, probably close to 100 cases where people have come up to me after they showed up for court support and they said, wow, this changed my life. I never imagined, number one, that what was happening in court was happening when they witnessed things that they just were blown away by. But the camaraderie, the family, the feeling of strength and support that happens when we stand together, especially when we protest, it's, you know, as long as you're protesting peacefully and as long as you don't go jumping into the street, you don't block people, there's little simple rules of protesting that They can't do anything. It's freedom of speech. You know, all you're doing is exercising your First Amendment. You don't even need to get a permit to protest as long as you're not using amplified music or anything. If you're just standing there with your signs and chanting, you don't need anything. You're allowed to do that on public property. You can't do it on the federal courthouse steps, but if you go right out to the sidewalk, no problem. You're fine. You just can't block people. There's basic rules of engagement. And so to answer that patient, you know, if you're in a situation where there's going to be five or more people there, you know, please show up and you'll be empowered by it. You'll come to be aware of what's really happening. And I've had many people that were born as an activist from just going to court support one time. And it's just been life-changing. You know, and like I was saying, the other thing that we do is we teach people about jury nullification. Every citizen has a right as a juror, not only a right but an obligation, to not only judge the evidence and the defendant in the case, but to actually judge the law. And you have that right without any fear of punishment. And you can vote not guilty simply because the law is wrong. And this evolved out of the slavery when people were charged with harboring fugitive slaves. Well, that was a bad law. And so jurors finally said, wait a minute, that's stupid. We're not going to prosecute a guy. We're not going to convict a guy for doing a good thing. That was just a bad law. And they overturned the law. And the same thing happened in alcohol prohibition. They were busting people from, you know, moonshining and running moonshine and that sort of thing. Jurors we used to convict because they were ridiculous laws. And from that point till the present, there's been numerous cases of jury nullification. And yet, in federal courts, in a cannabis case, not one American has had the stones to stand up yet. Not one out of 250 million Americans, not one has had the stones to stand up to the federal judge and say, sorry, Your Honor, this is not guilty because this is a bad law. You got to be quiet about how you say it. You know, you get thrown off a jury if you start being troublemaking. But you can stand your ground, and you don't have to explain yourself. You have a right to say not guilty. So we have a lot of power if we were just willing to stand up and wield it. And, you know, that's what I try to do. I'm really grateful for opportunities to speak on these radio shows and encourage people to, you know, to educate themselves.
So I don't think enough people know that we have these rights, we have these powers, and we have these abilities.
Clearly not.
Yeah, so just in the reading I've done about you and your organization and your challenges in life in this industry, I've learned, you know, quite a few things. But unless you're out there, you know, like you say, you know, most people that use cannabis are still in the cannabis closet, and they're just secretly doing their own thing like they've been doing for years and years and years, and they really don't have
time
any
to come out of the cannabis closet. We've got to get out.
Yeah. But what's going to inspire them or drive them to start researching laws and going to get involved with this kind of stuff?
Well, hopefully there's two things that are happening. One is the hope of more and more states that are passing legislation, and it's helping people to feel more comfortable.
Right.
And realizing that public sentiment is starting to reveal itself. That's the good side of it. The bad side of it is, unfortunately, most activists are born out of duress. And just almost everybody now knows somebody who's been in jail for a plant. And unfortunately, if you don't know somebody personally, you definitely know somebody who knows somebody. And it drives many people back in fear, but it also brings out what I call the angry American that lives inside of many of us and says, wait a minute, that's not right. And there's that tipping point inside of our spirits that say, enough, how far can I be pushed before I finally am going to push back? And, you know, we're not a nation of weak people. I mean, our history is one of us standing up for what's right throughout all of history. And, you know, that's who we are. And I think that, unfortunately, we have to get pushed to the point where we finally just go, whoa, enough. You know, it's like the kid standing up to the bully. You know, at one point you can only be spit on so many times before you say, enough, I'm going to take you on. And even if I get my butt whooped, I'm still going to take you on. And I think that that's unfortunately what brings many people out of the closet. And hopefully, you know, it's a combination of inspiration and anger. You know, our solidarity ribbons are all handmade, and we say with love and aggression.
Yeah.
And the aggression is from the angst of watching so many people suffer and you know, having their lives torn apart by these unjust policies. And the love is from understanding that we're good people helping good people, and the right thing to do is to stand up and show our support in a public way. And so, you know, it's a tough call. I spend most of my waking hours, you know, jumping up and down on a soapbox, you know, ringing my bell and trying to grab anybody's attention that I can, every way that I can, and then trying to inspire others to do the same. And one by one, two by two, I think we're gaining on it. It's just it's a long, hard road. It's been a 70-year battle so far, and I don't think it's going to end this week, that's for sure.
Maybe not this, maybe next week.
Well, Joe, your peaceful intimidation towards the courts is definitely the way to go. I definitely believe seeing it. I would love to see the look on the judge's face when, you know, everyone from the Human Solution walks into a courtroom. So you definitely got that on your side.
Court support works. I say it all the time. And we've witnessed dismissals and acquittals. And every once in a while we take some lumps. But
yeah.
But as a rule, you know, when we show up, we're victorious in one way or another. And, you know, every time that a defendant stands up to it, we're victorious just simply by the action that they take. And, you know, it just enough of us have to stand tall. Eventually, the juries and the judges and the defendant or the prosecutors are just going to go, wow, this is ridiculous. We just need to stop. There's real criminals to go after.
Right.
Well, and how do they get in touch with the folk here in Tucson?
Let me give you just our basic number, and then I usually direct people to the Tucson or to the chapter that's local to 3/4-inch polytubing, 1,000 feet roll, 3/4-inch polytubing. That's all I need. It's the-human-solution.org is the name of the website. It's the-human-solution.org. And the only reason we had to put all those dashes in because there's a furniture company that is also called the Human Solution, and they got to the name before we did. And we just figure we're more of a solution than a chair, so we just feel that it's an important name. And we also have a Twitter account that's 420Ribbon, and we also are all over Facebook. The Human Solution has numerous groups. There's a Human Solution Tucson group that they could reach directly to. And it's a, you know, one of those Facebook communities. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of guys, Tucson Bob and Leonard Ray, and a few of the other guys that are heading up that chapter. These guys are just really active, and they're well spoken, and they're teaching people how to take action locally. And they're you'll see them at the local city council meetings. You'll see them at courthouses. I think there's a court hearing today going on that they're going to be present at. Also, just our regular number is 951 area code, and it's 436-6312. And, you know, if you approach us from any of those ways, I try to set this group apart from the others. We're a total grassroots organization. We're you know, everything we do is sponsored by membership and donations. Nobody in this group gets paid a salary to do anything, so it's all volunteer, all donations. And yet we're still, I believe, one of the most active and effective groups that are out there. So, you know, a lot of times people, you know, donate money to the Red Cross or some big organization only to find out that most of that money got spent for administration and nothing got done. And we're just straight about the action. You know, you can join our group if you don't have two nickels to rub together, I'll just say, here, help us out. You know, write me an article or help us in some way to organize, and you're in the family. So, you know, we're very inclusive, and we encourage people to participate any way they can, and that's where our strengths come from. You know, we don't have some big central office building somewhere that can be taken out. We don't have any big, any big asset that can be stripped from us. We're you know, the whack-a-mole gang. You can't get us all because we're everywhere.
There you go. The more the merrier.
Wow. Well,
exactly.
That's been great. I think what you guys are doing is awesome. I would like to talk to the people of Human Solutions down here in Tucson.
Yeah.
And seeing how we can become part of the movement down here. I'd love to go sit in on those the court support.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love intimidating judges. That you walk in, you look well, and you look nice. You walk in, and you know you're just there for support. I can just imagine, you know, the judge going, "I can't convict this guy." You know, this plan. The presence there, it definitely works.
Yes, everybody.
Well, you know what? We've had such an impact in courtrooms that in probably no less than a dozen cases, the prosecutor has objected to all those people in the gallery wearing ribbons, and that's what their claim is. All these people that are wearing ribbons, and the judge says, well, I don't see a problem with that. The ribbons don't say anything. They're not a big, you know, we love pot pro, you know,
right,
T-shirt on. It doesn't say anything. It's just a ribbon. And every single time the judge has stood on our side with that. And even one time, our presence has been noted in many transcripts in several, many trials and hearings, not just in California, but in other states. But in one case in particular, in the Aaron Sandusky trial, this was a federal case, we were there in support, and the U.S. attorney, Jay Robinson, who was the prosecutor of the case, he also objected to these ribbons. But when in one of the days they had their confidential informer, the rat, was up on the stand, and I watched, you know, Aaron's friend of many years, you know, testifying against him as a, you know, as a rat, and I wrote an article about it, just telling what I saw. Well, sure as anything, the next day in court, they read my article out loud in the trial, and it was in the transcript, and they accused me of threatening their witness. And, you know, the article wasn't threatening in any way. It was just exposing the truth. And it was interesting because I was kind of afraid. I mean, I was still out on bail, and I'm sitting there supporting somebody in a federal case, and I was very publicly, protesting what they were doing, and it got brought up, and still my First Amendment stood strong, and nothing, you know, they didn't come after me because there wasn't any reason to. It wasn't, you know, the claims were unfounded. But nonetheless, the point was that we have an impact every time we show up. And if you're serious about wanting to get a hold of these people, send me a little message, and I will definitely put you in touch with them. And I think that would just be a fantastic thing. I do a lot of these little radio interviews, and oftentimes I feel like nothing came of it. And every once in a while, somebody will call me up or they'll approach me and say, hey, I heard you on the radio show, and it inspired me to do something. And that's the point of all this.
Yeah,
but exactly. If I could get you connected with our local chapter, that's power in itself. So maybe you could have them come up on and be a guest as well.
Yeah.
I just found them on Facebook. So, yeah, if you could shoot Belle an email with the contact person over there.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
We have a friend that is in the process of being raided right now, and he's going to need that support.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so we
definitely. Well, they'll be out there for you. Actually, the head of the chapter, his Facebook name is Patient for Patients. Patient for Patients. And if you find him, he's the guy that's totally he's the driving force of this chapter right now. It's just a great guy. And if you reach to him, I'll contact him today too and let him know that, you know, we spoke and everything.
Yeah.
But especially if you have information about the guy being raided and his family or whatever, a contact that they can reach out to him, you know, that's what we need to do. Like, when you get raided, your friends disappear. I did a YouTube video, and I called it a marijuana magic trick. And in this video, I talked about how, you know, I've always been a very social person, and I've had lots of people in my life. And when you run a collective, you know, you make lots and lots of friends because you're providing a really useful service to people that need it, and you're helping people in a profound way. I had dozens, hundreds of friends that you know, were standing by me. Well, as soon as I got arrested, I watched those friends disappear one by one by one. And you know, people that I knew for 10, 15, 20 years just vanished. And they became afraid because, like, somehow it was contagious, you know. And to have anybody come up to you and say, hey, man, reach your hand out and stand by you, that's one of the most powerful things we can do. And we need to, you know, that's why one of the reasons we exist is because there's a need for that. So if you guys can send me information from this guy, hopefully he's not going to be taken into custody. And hopefully, you know, it'll be easier to reach to him.
Yeah, I'm just floored. You know,
yeah.
I can't even say all my thoughts I want to say, but you're right. You know, it's the most important time when you need somebody is when something goes down, unfortunately. And we're going to be there for our friend. And hopefully the patients that come into Tumbleweeds Health Center, you know, will support them as well. And just, you know, you have to support each other. If you don't, like you said, it'll crumble.
Well, I can send you, if you send me a message with an address, I can send you out some brochures that if you want to put them at the health center, at least it'll educate people. If they take them, they can learn how they can make a difference, and maybe that there's a need for that.
Right. There is such a need for that.
Oh, there is. And it's the education, you know.
It's the education, and it's the knowing that our own rules and regulations and laws, and knowing what we can and can't do. But, you know, we've had to feel this way for such a long time, you know, as patients, as, you know, anyone that's ever used this plant has always had this feeling of, you know, I can't say anything to anyone. It's that scariness. It's the feeling of no one else will understand, my friends, family. It's the same. Any of that stigma kind of goes along with the same thing. So.
What advice?
Well, and that's just it. People don't realize that the stigma of prohibition, I mean, it's really a stigma-based problem because we're perceived as being criminals. We're perceived as doing something that's bad or wrong. And, yeah, the biggest one. But the point is people don't really realize that prohibition was born out of lies and born out of suppressing information, and it was born out of misinformation and you know, trickery.
Yep.
And the only answer, the only way to solve that is education and the truth. And so any way we can get that to people, and that's why, you know, we've created brochures and a website, and we speak publicly. We do everything we can to bring that truth to people. And I think if people can just go, oh, wow, really? That's actually happening? And boom, I think it can you know, wake people up. I think most people have no idea that people are actually getting thrown in jail just for pot. They really don't. And you go, well, how can you not know that? You'd be surprised at what sheltered lives people live. They get their information from all the wrong sources,
right.
And they believe what they're told by the, you know, mainstream media, and, oh, there must have been something wrong, you know. And,
yeah.
And you think you're being judged by a jury of your peers. Go sit in a jury selection one day and come out afraid. I guarantee you will, because these people are not your peers, and we need to make sure that we are.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Surround yourself.
Oh, well, what advice do you have for our friend that's going through all this right now, since you've sadly been through it yourself?
The advice that I have is to lawyer up, and if you can, and to reach out to either our group or some other group that's got some experience with this. Unfortunately, most people that get raided have never been arrested before. They don't know anything about the justice system, and because we're not criminals. And so if you can get yourself in the presence of anybody who has some experience, you know, do that as quickly as you can. Surround yourself with support and, you know, make a decision. You're going to be faced with some tough decisions in standing up or taking a deal. And, you know, at least surround yourself with some people that can, you know, give you your real options.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and your friends, they're going to support you there.
Yeah.
So we can make, we had a question about the ribbons. Patients or not, just people that want to support you can make these ribbons, and that's a homemade thing, right?
Well, we actually make these ribbons, and they're made in a very specific way, and we train people how to make these ribbons this way. Plenty of people make ribbons. Like, if you want to make your own ribbon, please, you know, have at it. But if you want to, you know, one of these ribbons, they're very special. They're my wife is, like, the most critical person in the world, and they're done in a very precise, specific way. And they look, they stand out. They look nice. They look.
I'm looking at a picture of them right
in
now.
Uniform.
Yeah.
And the guys in the Tucson chapter, they've been educated on how to make the ribbon. If people want them, I mean, I ship them all over the nation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes all over the world.
Wow. Yeah, we'd be proud to wear those.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, if you send me your an address, I'll send you guys a few ribbons and some brochures to you know, for your own personal use, if you like. And if you want, you know, you can join the Human Solution on the website. It's a $10 you know, membership dues, and you know, you've become part of an amazing family.
Absolutely. I think you're going to have a lot of new members after
the
show.
Yeah, I think the brochures are really going to help spread the word. And
yeah, we'll get a bunch of members for you and for everybody out there that needs our support and the support of your...
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, it's something that when you become part of an organization, I mean, that's how, you know, motorcycle clubs and fraternities and all of the, you know, the big groups, they gain their popularity because you're part of something that is got power by its own numbers, and you share something in common with all these people, and it's a family. And for whatever reason, you know, even churches, they're big families, and so we're a family of like-minded individuals that are there to educate and support each other. And you know, I just don't see any way to go wrong with that.
The heck no. So Joe, one more time, your website for people to contact you and get info.
It's the-human-solution.org.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate and thank you so much for being here and for all that you do for everybody worldwide to be able to have this planned. And it's been a long 70-plus years, but I think we're going to get there sooner rather than later with the support of, you know, really good people like you, Joe. And
I really appreciate the opportunity to talk on your show, and you know, we all have a choice to make. We can either be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution. So it's something you wake up every day and make those decisions. And I welcome everybody to become part of the solution.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Joe, for being on the air with us this morning.
All right.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you, guys, and you have a fantastic day.
We'd love to have you back on someday.
Yes, absolutely.
Anytime. Just let me know.
All right.
You bet.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We're all sitting here in chat going,
just getting my heart racing on that and actually wanting to go sit in on a court case.
With our ribbon. Proudly worn on our nice little suits for the day.
Wow.
Best suits we can conjure up. Oh, my goodness. What people have to go through. He twice had to make bail. And you know, without his good friends, he would still be sitting in jail and not be here on the show or be doing other things. You know, I mean, he's blessed and fortunate enough to have people that had a little extra money to help him out. But he had two $250,000 bails.
Jesus.
One was cut in half to, 125? Woo.
Just,
But, I mean, for real.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, and our tax dollars have spent all that time, effort, energy, and money and resources on that, you know? One plant. For one plant.
Mm-hmm. Makes you definitely wonder why they're wanting to keep it back so much.
Well, yeah. We have someone on next week who'll tell you the answer to that. Mr. Robert Platshorn will be joining us with his show next week, The Silver Tour. So that'll be a great show.
But we actually have a little bit of time, don't we?
For us, we have, all the days. But no, the show actually is supposed to end in 2 minutes. But go right ahead.
This is something that I know we've been talking about for a while. Cannabis is key to good health when we eat it versus smoke it.
Oh, yeah.
It's no secret that our world is seeing a huge increase in poor health and cancer cases. It should come to as no surprise when we look at what we eat daily, the condition of our environment, the types of our body care products that we use daily that contain a ton of cancer-causing agents. Mainstream media suggests that chemotherapy and radiation are the best means to go about treating cancer, but there is a growing body of evidence to suggest there exist much better cures. Cannabinoids may very well be the best disease and cancer-fighting treatments out there. If you have heard of Rick Simpson, you have heard of the methods of preparing cannabis of hemp in such a way where it is to extract the oil from the use, extract it from it, and use the oil to treat cancer. Rick has been very successful at this work, and popularity is growing as a result. At the same time, he's received a great deal of flack for his methods and poised a serious threat to business that is cancer. So it's just saying that different kinds of ways, it starts breaking down into the cannabinoids and which kinds of cannabinoids help out the body. That's when you can actually buy seeds online right now. That's
wow.
A little ad. I noticed hemp seeds are a big thing that are popping up for health foods.
Hemp oil, hemp seeds,
So we're just seeing a lot more, and I think what Joe was talking about today is, as we're seeing, you know, states 18 and 19 come into the legalizations for medical cannabis, we're going to start seeing more support from people. And it's just a growing thing that's going to have to happen as people start to destigmatize for themselves.
That's right.
And actually, you know, creep out of the cannabis closet, as we're calling it.
Yeah, and they are slowly but surely, more and more. We just got a news article that says New York Assembly overwhelmingly approved medical marijuana measures. So New York and Nevada is also approving their dispensary operations. So it's happening all over. Slowly but surely.
I think what's great is when I
tortoise wins the race.
Yeah, when I actually started going to Tumbleweeds, and told this story before, is how many of the patients actually are doing the research on their medication? And I can't.
Well, the ones that come to Tumbleweeds are.
Yeah.
Because we educate the heck out of them.
Educate the heck out of them.
Which is what, you know.
But how many people do that with their pharmaceuticals? And
you know, when you go pick up your medication at a pharmacy, you have to sign off on your little notepad saying, I met with the doctor, this and everything. But you don't have to. You can just sign off saying, you know, I read it, and you don't have to read it. You know, even in your Western medical world, they're not doing the research on the meds that they should, because they're taking 17 pills at one time to counteract this and to stop this and start that and alleviate that and fix this. So, it's education is the most important thing, whether it's for this plant or, you know, whatever medication you're on. But it should be mandatory.
It should.
Sad. I'm just kind of in a shock state here.
I know.
You can find the news articles on tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and also past episodes of the show. Are we going to do a little empathy? Should we do something?
We should.
Lighter, maybe.
Lighter.
One page is lighter. empathy, food for thought, our favorite book around here. Ivan, we need number two. This is our third time through. We're going to start making up our own revisions. I think we should make empathy 1.2, 1.1. We'll make it up ourselves. All right. So empathy, food for thought, is a book. It's an attempt to show at a glance the logical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects, and we need to publicize their findings in a kind, unbiased way to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant.
All right, great saying for this morning.
Yeah. So why? Environmentally devastating vehicles. Oh, Tucson has a lot of these. Well, yeah. So here's a picture of a giant Hummer looking like a vehicle on a, looks like an L.A. highway, maybe speedway at 3 o'clock. It's dark. It's just nasty smoke in the air, and this truck is going to run over this guy on a motorcycle. He's wearing a helmet, though. That's good. But it's just a gross scene, and it says, why? Why environmentally devastating vehicles? The world consumes 30 billion barrels of oil per year. Now, keep in mind, this was updated, I think, in 2010 or something like that. So that figure must have gone up. 30 billion barrels of oil per year the world consumes. The U.S. has been the biggest guzzler by far, but China and other nations are using more oil as their industries develop. U.S. automobiles and light trucks are responsible for nearly half of all greenhouse gases emitted by automobiles globally, according to a new study by the Environmental Defense Fund. Cars and trucks made by GM gave off 99 million metric tons of carbon dioxide, or 31% of the total. Ford vehicles emitted 80 million metric tons, or 25%. Daimler Chrysler emitted 51 metric tons, or 16%, according to the reports. Wow. Mm. That's nasty. That makes me want to ride my bike. Not my motorcycle, my bicycle. Got to get that fixed. That's just gross.
So then why not?
Yep. Let's hear
it. Green machines. Rudolph Diesel, 1858 to 1913, developed the first internal combustion engine to run on peanut oil. As he demonstrated at the World Exhibition in Paris in 1900s, unfortunately, R. Diesel died in 1913 before his vision of engine powered by vegetable oil was fully realized. The use of vegetable oils for engine fuels may seem significant today, but such oils become, in the course of time, as important as petroleum and coal tar products of the present time. When Henry Ford recently unveiled his plastic car results of 12 years of research, he gave the world a glimpse of the automobile of tomorrow. Its tough panels model under hydraulic pressure of 1,500 pounds per square inch. From a recipe that calls for 70% of cellulose fiber from wheat straw, hemp, and sisal plus 30% resin binder. The only steel in the car is its tubular welded frame. The plastic car weighs a ton, 1,000 pounds lighter than any compact steel car. Manufacturers are already talking of low-priced plastic cars to test the public's taste by 1943. So,
well, the first car Ford built ran on hemp oil.
It ran on hemp oil and was made of hemp.
Yep, indestructible hemp plastic. So why not?
So it's like
why
it can be done, but Ford? We're
what the heck? They've got the recipe back there. They need to put that car back out on the road.
Uh-huh.
Come on, people. There are a lot of things you could do with this plant other than smoke it, eat it, juice it, vaporize it.
We had the first crop, the 100 acres of hemp that was started growing in Denver, or in Colorado.
Yeah.
Kentucky. We have 18 states. We have 18 states that are legalizing it.
And D.C.
Like Joe said, it's not going to be tomorrow.
Right.
It's not going to be at the end of this week, but it is.
Maybe next week.
I mean, since I've been in this kind of work, I've seen it move. It felt like it's moved very fast.
But this is a lot
of work that's just barely, things are barely happening. So we have a lot more work on our hands.
A lot more work and a lot more support to do.
And destigmatizing and education. And
most likely you're not going to be arrested for showing up to support your friends in court. So if you've got friends, and even if they're not friends of yours, they are through cannabis, and show them. Go support them. Make a green ribbon, come to Tumbleweeds and get one. We're going to have the brochures, the ribbons, and start getting out there and getting to these court sessions to show America that, you know, we're done. We're fed up. It's time. 70 plus years is too long. Alcohol prohibition was ended in just a few years, if that. So this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This just needs to be do-over. I call do-over. Do-over. Oh, my goodness. We're over already.
We're over, yeah.
Oh, there goes the rest of the show. All right. So Saturday, for those of you who can still grow, growing questions and answers 12 to 4 at Tumbleweed. There is the AZ for normal monthly meeting at
3 o'clock at Ward 6
yep,
building.
3202 East 1st Street. Next week, we're going to have Robert Platshorn and his Silver Tour. He is taking senior citizens from this country on a bus and going to the White House and protesting.
Should grandma smoke pot?
Yeah, June 16th, 17th, thesilvertour.org is where you go to check it out. And you could donate as well to his tour. He's got lots of other senior citizens. He just emailed us and said, hey, girls, get some more donations for us. We've got more seniors that are saying, we want to go with you. Get us some seats on that bus or get another bus because we need to go. So they're the ones that are voting. They're voting for cannabis. So the Silver Tour. Should grandma smoke pot?
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Woo-woo.
And grandpa.
Get the family. Come on, man. Get family certified down at Tumbleweed.
Family certification.
Family certification at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, right out in front. Giant purple pot. You can't miss us. We're in between Gentle Dental and Embassy Suites.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Joe Grumbine.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
For coming and joining us.
You definitely gave us a pump
us.
Of support
Holy
this
cow.
Morning.
Yeah,
definitely.
We need that. We need to pump it up cannabis
inspiration,
style.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, Growers House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, and TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com for allowing us to use their beautiful health center to host Weed Day Wednesday each and every week. Stay tuned. More awesome shows. $50 Fridays in June. $99 certifications. We'll beat any ad. Bring the ad in. And
Home of the $99 certification.
Ow! There you go. All right. Thanks for joining us. Weed Day Wednesday. Thanks, kid. Have
Thanks,
a good day.
Thanks, pal. You too.
And remember,
be smart.
Be safe.
And educate.
Woo-hoo!